Folks, welcome to the Punch Bowl. This is William Rapillum, your regular Friday host. Happy Friday, folks. Hope you're having a great week. Hope you can hear me okay. I'm going to be putting my microphone on pretty soon. Right now I'm talking directly through my phone speakerphone. And tonight, I'm going to talk about, I actually got a special guest with me tonight, Blackbird9. Joining me to have a discussion and talk about this discussion between Candace Owens and Rabbi Michael Barclay. First of all, let me welcome Frederick Blackburn, a.k.a. Blackbird9, host of the show on Saturday at 7 p.m. at the Saturday Snack Shack. Welcome, Frederick. Great to have you on with me.
Greetings, good sir. Happy Friday. Happy Good Friday. And we finally made this happen. It was getting comical there. We kept trying to schedule this for months, and but we finally got it together for this to work out. So I'm really glad to be here. And yeah, all kinds of clown world connections about the Candace Owens and little Ben Shapiro, the Mossad mascot, and the big smackdown there. So, yeah, looking forward to the show tonight.
Yeah, well, yeah, thanks. And for the backstory for folks, Candace Owens was, most of you know this, but just in case you don't, Candace Owens was recently fired from the Daily Wire. Ben Shapiro, his controlled opposition show is actually where I started out, kind of getting red-pilled in the beginning before, when I was being corralled away from knowing it was Jews or looking into what those evil white nationalists were talking about. I was listening to Ben Shapiro and what's the other one? The Dennis Prager. Prager U, right? So, yeah, so anyway, Candace Owens is a black pundit who recently got fired because she's talking about things like, you know, why Hitler really burned the books and putting Jews in not the best light. See, you can't do that. You can't not put Jews in, like, 100% perfect light, huh, Frederick? You can't, they can't ever take any responsibility for anything bad they've ever done. No Jews ever done anything wrong. And if you ever try to point out anything, you're going to get circle logic. Or you're just going to get if they don't get your life destroyed first. Rarely will they ever come on and debate you. So I'm a little bit both hopeful and suspicious of this discussion that Candace Owens is having with this rabbi, Michael Barclay. And I got to listen to the first 15 minutes of it is enough for us to have a lengthy discussion, I would say. Let me kick it over to you for your comments.
Oh, I mean, like everything, I always go, is this organic? Is this synthetic? And, you know, Candace Owens is the, you know, this year's model, conservative, angry black woman, right? And she just happens to get, you know, a position at this very influential Daily Wire outfit that's, you know, completely Jewish controlled, but they supposedly have this Christian slant. So it's interesting how they're marketing themselves to that conservative Christian audience, but it's, you know, as interpreted by all of these Jew talking heads and, you know, their, you know, token Schwartz of, you know, over here. This, you know, very similar to how Fox News in the morning, when, you know, all the you know, housewives are getting their news, you have Harris Faulkner. You know, she's got that time slot down. She is the queen of Fox conservative news, right? And she's that conservative, angry black woman who's married to a Jewish guy, I believe. You know, and so, you know, you just see this kind of cookie cutter of having that influencer out there. And it's like, you know, at the same time you're smashing down organic influencers, you're synthetically building up these astroturfed, you know, influencers and making them seem bigger than life, et cetera. And suddenly here, as we're in the, you know, war with Israel, you know, Israel at war, you have anti-Semitism on the rise on college campuses. It's the biggest thing ever. Just ask the governor of Texas. You know, that's the most important thing ever is anti-Semitism on campus, not the border being flooded, right? And, you know, suddenly you have this fallout at the Daily Wire, you know, between Candace Owens and this rabbi. And she's refusing to back down on all of these key talking points that people like you, you know, white guys, we're not allowed to say anymore. You know, those, it, that's hate speech if it comes from my mouth or your mouth. But since she's the conservative, angry black woman, she's allowed the voice to speak to these Jews. And, but, you know, we still have that fundamental problem of, in Jewland clown world, it is mitzvah, meaning it is the big law. You don't break it. Is you know, Goyim, especially Schwartz's, do not question, criticize, or ridicule the chicken swingers. It's just not done. You know, you do not. You know, we are royalty. You got to get your head around, you know, that they think they are the royalty of the planet and everyone exists to serve them. And, you know, Gentiles are not allowed to ever, ever, ever question, criticize, or ridicule the Chosenites, especially the learned chicken swingers, the rabbis. And this is one of the things people know, the quote of the Talmud, you know, since we're in, you know, Easter week here, high holy days, that, you know, Jesus, the Jews consider Jesus to be damned to live in hell for all eternity, boiling in a vat of excrement because he violated the rules against challenging and ridiculing the rabbis. You know, that is the big thing, that he went against the rabbis and had to be damned and made an example. And that becomes symbolic of all the Christians everywhere, that we aren't allowed to ever criticize these Chosenites, and that you have this, you know, religious back and forth going on. And then the tapes are released that, you know, Candace Owens got fired for saying Christ is king. This was trending on Twitter this week. This was one of the big developments in social media, that Christ is king and he is risen, were trending in this pushback, you know, against this, you know, oppressive, you know, Zionist Kabbalistic black cloud that's taken over the world. And it's just, you know, you see this pushback on it. And, you know, like I said, suddenly Candace Owens is fired and, you know, they release everything that's saying it's because she said this phrase. And so they're trying to make that phrase into being yet another hateful things that white people or Goyim aren't allowed to say anymore, like 100%, which I hear is now the new ADL censor list thing. So anyways, that's just kind of my take on it. Back to you.
Ah, yes. Well, I wanted to ask you, how much of the video were you able to get through? Were you able to get through more than 20 minutes of it like me?
I couldn't sit through the high. One, it has been crazy here at the Trading Post all week. We have been putting out fires like crazy in the run-up to this week. Basically just been getting the highlight reels of people sending me little 30-second clips. I've been able to watch those this back and forth and then this back and forth. How far did you get in the whole thing?
About 17, 20 minutes, somewhere around there, I think. I don't think I – let me check. I not especially far. I got enough, and I got down some notes here. And let me just go through some of these notes. One specific of highlight where he's telling, at 12 minutes, and let's get this put up on the newsreel too, this National File. It's funny, this National File, I've been a subscriber to, I guess I subscribed to it some years ago, and I still get these emails, and I've never really been interested in reading them because I always thought it was just controlled opposition, normie conservative stuff is what I thought it was, but it comes through, and now it's this, the Jews are on the radar of the National File, so it's like, well, okay, let me take a look at this. So, at 12 minutes, basically the rabbi says, I have no right to tell you you're experiencing racism, and he's referring to blacks or, I don't remember if that's exactly what he said, but he was trying to say what he was trying to get at. His point was that nobody has any right to define anti-Semitism except Jews, except for the Jews. They can't. No one can know what anti-Semitism except the Jews. And another thing that he had mentioned was that anti-Semitism is a mutating. It's a hate that mutates, and it's a very special kind of hate. There's no other kind of hate out there except this anti-Semitism. So it's a very special, it's the most special kind of hate there is out there. So it has to be treated very specially. Obviously, we read between the lines with this, and that what he's actually saying is that nobody has a right to criticize Jews because we're God's chosen people. And, that's what he's actually saying. Let me go through these notes one by one in serial here. Before I do that, real quick. But what about how the Jew – so when the Jew says, I have no right to tell you you're experiencing racism, but what about how the Jew uses blacks as proxy warriors and calls the blacks bigots because they're not being good little proxies for the Jew, right? I came across a video between Jesse Lee Peterson and a rabbi. I'm not able to find it on BitChute anymore, but I came across this video and this Jew, maybe it wasn't a rabbi, maybe it was just some Jew, some other Jew. And the Jew was absolutely taken aback by the fact that Jesse Lee Peterson doesn't even acknowledge that there's racism and doesn't partake in that whole Jewish scam that the Jew has foisted upon black people. Namely, understanding that it was Jews that bought the slaves to America, that brought black slaves to America and white slaves. But it's still, they're still doing a white slave trade over there in Ukraine and all and across different parts of the world. So, we don't get to talk about that, right? But anyway, I just found it very hypocritical, and I was going to come up with an example to point this guy's fallacy of his argument out. But let me go through this. I just got like 10 points. So at 1:30, Candace Owens brings up the point of. I think we should have open discussion. I don't believe in censorship, and I remember the Jew she's speaking to, Michael Barclay, was not. I couldn't see him agreeing with her, saying, "Yeah, we shouldn't censor people. We should bring these ideas and then let them get hashed out." No, the Jew doesn't agree with that. The ideas should not come because the Goyim should not be allowed to make their own decisions about what's true and what's not true. They need us to tell them what's true and what's not true. No critical thinking allowed. Critical thinking is hate. Critical thinking is going to lead to anti-Semitism, which is just means it's going to lead to people discovering the truth. So the next one was that he had the whole reason for her bringing him on and was because he wrote a couple of articles referring to her anti-Semitism and called her a Jew-hating bigot. So, and that's very inflammatory language, obviously. And this Jew is on there, essentially, in that same way that they do with their PR. They put their hands together like they're praying, and then they speak in this soft tone of voice, and like they have this superior sort of like a higher ground, and we're Jews, and you know, we're so above everything and everyone, and let me explain it to you, and you know, why I called you a Jew-hating bigot.
Jew-splaining. I call it Jew-splaining. Let me Jew-splain it to you.
That's right. And the next one was, you define anti-Semitism is what he goes, we can't have this argument unless we define anti-Semitism. And so he needed to get in there and have bridge this lack of understanding on her part about what anti-Semitism is. And so the quote was, Jews have no right. So what he defines that anti-Semitism as is, Jews have no right to exist as a collective. And people saying that. Well, we know that nobody's really saying that. What people are saying is that Jews are a danger to the planet. And when people actually look into what's been happening, and we see that the nature of the Jew is to never, ever take any responsibility for what they do or acknowledge any wrongdoing at all. And if anybody ever does that, they're a bigot, a Jew-hating bigot, and points out any crime. So this is, and this goes, so everything goes in a circular form of logic when it comes to anything. So this is a very dangerous situation for the rest of humanity. We'll see. So anybody pointing this out and they're like, hey, look, we are in peril, that's anti-Semitism. And he's going to call that, they're going to equate that with Jews have no right to exist as a people. Okay. And then at 5 minutes, he brought up the blood libel, what he called a myth, and started, the more and more he would make his points, the more and more vehement and kind of threatening he would be started to become in his tone, like, don't you ever question. You know, I mean, just it was just the tone kept coming on stronger and stronger with this. And so here's the point. I have no right to tell you you're experiencing racism. We've covered that. And then he said that a Jew that is anti-Zionist is a self-hating Jew, right? Because he did say anti-Zionism is anti-Semitism. So that's the same thing Jonathan Greenblatt says. And then when it got into at about 16 minutes, it got to October 7th. He says the word October 7th. He rolls his eyes up to the left. I don't know what that means, but I think I've seen on the, like, when they've done, like, these catch the criminal shows, and when they're being questioned, somebody's being questioned, if they roll their eyes over to the left, they're lying. That's what I believe the conclusion. Well, he's rolling his eyes up into the left. And I tried doing that, rolling my eyes up and to the left. I can't think of a time when I was trying to think of what to say, and I looked up and look up to the left. You ever try that? Try that real quick.
Right, that's one of those go-tos. The monkey takes over and just does these little automated things that give you away during interrogation. You know, we call them ticks, and there are tells. And definitely that's for that low level body communication.
Right. I would really love to play some of this clip. I think probably a good place to start would be around, I mean, we could go through everything that I just said here, but you know, we're limited on our time, but let me kick it back to you first and I'll side on a place to stop, because I'm thinking maybe around 16 minutes where he starts kvetching about October 7th might be a good place. We're up against the break, so as soon as we get back, we will continue with more of this analysis. Candace Bowen's Jewish Rabbi Conversation. I'm going to climb Blackbird 9.
Now I don't know about no law, I don't see no crime. Ain't no reason, ain't no rest. I'm gonna get down to the water and get undressed.
Tahibo Tea Club's original Pure Paudi Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. As a result, it naturally has antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit drinksupertea.com. The first word is drink, spelled D-R-I-N-K, then the word super, then the word tea. The complete website is drinksupertea.com or call us at 818-965-9113, Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-965-9113. DrinkSuperTea.com.
Charles de Gaulle once said, actually, it's difficult to envision in this regard any other criterion, any other standard than gold. Yes, gold, which does not change in nature, which can be made into either bars, ingots, or coins, which has no nationality, and which is considered in all places and all times the immutable and fiduciary value par excellence. So when the question is, why gold? It's simple, my friends. The answer to that question is simply, why not? Like it or not, precious metals will always be the world's reserve currency. Even though nations do not define their currency by their worth in, say, gold, individuals still buy gold and silver to protect themselves from inflation. The more money a nation's central bank pours into the economy, the less valuable its currency, the dollar is, which means the price of everything else rises. $21 up for a bag of dog food, seeing that the dollar is cheap. That's why the cost of everything goes up. It's because the buying power, the value of the dollar has tanked. It's worth nothing. And yet gold that your family would have owned in 1907 will buy at least the same amount of goods, if not far more. William McPhee once stated, it's extraordinary how many emotional storms one may weather in safety if one is ballasted with ever so little gold. The truth about money, gold versus cash in a crisis, gold, a valuable thing to store, the power of gold in times of crisis. Historical sketch of paper currency. Oh, and beware the ides of rare coin dealers and Alan Greenspan's speech on gold and economic freedom. How interesting. I'm going to give you gold and silver in 5 easy lessons. Seeking out the most efficient and most secure route to owning gold and converting it into widely accepted currency is the next best thing to enjoying gold-backed currency, my friends. In a world of central bankers hell-bent on devaluing our savings, you need to own private gold standard. Contact me, Jeffrey Bennett at Kettle Moraine Limited, by calling our phone number at 602-799-8214. That's 602-799-8214.
Started at 15:38. This is where, you know, where he goes on the October 7th thing, and this is where he starts to get the tone in his voice of intimidation and threat, and starts threatening and saying, "Don't you ever dare question our October 7th." Because you know what this is, folks? October 7th is renewing the Holocaust narrative. because the Holocaust is no longer effective anymore. They needed a new Holocaust, and October 7th was that. I think they did a terrible job of coming up. They're going to probably have to get a new, another more, you know, greater one, because this was, this isn't going to be enough either. So look for another false flag and another with more force and vigor from the Jews telling us we don't ever dare question anything they ever do. Pardon the passion, folks. Sorry, not sorry. All right, let's go ahead and roll that clip, Mike.
Your comment of wanting to have an academic discussion about October 7th came from a place of not really realizing what October 7th was. October 7th is unique in recorded human history as the ugliest day of humanity. What was done on October 7th? Taking a young woman, taking her phone to videotape her being raped on the corpse of her dead boyfriend and then shot on it and sending that video to her parents. Beheading a man with a garden hoe, kicking a woman until her body parts fall, is unique in terms of the intention to attack civilians. And so in November, after you made the comment on Tucker Carlson about wanting an academic discussion about how, you know, those kind of comments that you made and the ennui that you demonstrate, I wrote an article saying that I would arrange for you, there's a film, a 47-minute film by the IDF. It is all the footage done by the Hamas terrorists of what they were doing so proudly, what they wanted to do. And that my belief was, I don't think that you quite realize that. And I would arrange for private screening for you and your friends. Mm-hmm. And that I would arrange that and then have the discussion about how you feel about October 7th.
Okay. So I just really would like to get to your article because I think it's important. I want to acknowledge your pain about October 7th.
That's not an opinion.
No, I didn't say opinion. I said I want to acknowledge your pain about October 7th.
I apologize.
I didn't say that. I said I want to acknowledge your pain about October 7th, and I want to get to that because you are... you're mischaracterizing what I said on Tucker Carlson, but I do have a clip, and we're going to be able to watch it. Right. I definitely did not say I wanted to have an academic debate about October 7th. That's not what I said at all. But I have the clip. And I do also want, I think it's best for us to dive into what you actually wrote about me, because there are several mischaracterizations, I believe, of what I said, but both of us are going to be able to watch it. So again, this is the article. And by the way, you did say,
all right,
let's
go ahead and stop there. We can continue in a bit, but I want to get your comments, Blackbird. I just want to just throw off the notes I took here. So he mentioned, obviously he got very impassioned and he starts turning on the emotion and he's really trying to drive home this emotional thing about October 7th. And, you know, he's talking about a young woman with her phone, somebody recorded with her phone, her being raped. Okay, never heard anything about this. Okay, what's this? Is this another, you know, beheading 40 babies story? Or beheading a man, kicking a woman with her body parts fell off. Then he mentions the IDF. The first thing that comes to mind when I think of the IDF are these soldiers, you know, doing fist pumps after they, you know, just take snipers on innocent Palestinian people. That's the first thing I think of when I think of the IDF. This guy's got some nerve. He's got to give another private screening. He's got to send Elon Musk over to Auschwitz again. Got to send Candace Owens over to Auschwitz for a private screening. A private screening of the footage, okay. It's not an opinion. Remember, okay, he thought she said opinion. She said, I want to acknowledge your pain, not opinion. It's not an opinion. It's not an opinion. It's not an opinion. Okay, so we can't have a discussion about what actually happened. It's not an opinion. We're already up against the second break. But Blackbird, I would really like to get your thoughts on this specifically as soon as we get back. Sorry about the break interrupting. But stick around, folks, and stick around for the break, too. Drive back.
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news. Real talk. Real people. Because you can handle the truth.
Hey there, are you going to wait till the cows come home to get your new Ease-Off drop-in lift?
What in the world is an Ease-Off drop-in lift?
Our Ease-Off is a new tool to increase production for your meat processing company that will get that whole hog or half a beef on or off your rail with our remote control.
That sounds great, but can I afford it?
Sure, and the Ease-Off installs fast. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue, speed up your line, and increase profits.
Okay, I'm convinced. Where can I get my Ease-Off?
Go to easeoff.com. That's EAZEOFF.com. And hurry, because we're offering free shipping for a limited time. Easeoff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too.
Ease-Off, LLC, 417-932-6419.
People often write to tell us what has happened for them since starting Extendivite. Allow me to read a few. In 1 month, my blood pressure dropped significantly. I no longer get chest pain after exercise. It's amazing, and I ordered my second bottle. The reviews are spot on. My target is to get off BP meds, and if it keeps going like this, I see a light at the end of the tunnel. So far, a great product is what it claims to be. Great product. A few days in, and I could feel a difference for certain. Not checking medical stats yet. I know this is really working by how I feel. We'll continue to take this product. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit extendivite.com. That's extendovite.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Are you one of the millions of people who feel like there is a dark cloud hanging over their heads whenever they're using pharmaceutical drugs? For some, the short-term relief can turn into an opioid addiction nightmare. Have you ever wondered why CBD oil is a billion-dollar industry? It's because it works better than opioids and is actually healthy for you. However, CBD oil is stripped of all other helpful compounds found in the hemp plant. According to neuroscientists, the whole hemp plant, otherwise known as hemp paste, is even more effective than the chemically processed CBD oil. Are you ready to take back your health? You can try hemp paste for the price of a cup of coffee.
Hemppaste.com/RBN. Free shipping on orders over $50. See the banners for hemp paste at republicbroadcasting.org and visit hemppaste.com/RBN.
Get your thoughts on the clip that we just played there, the emotion from the rabbi, the accusation of the young woman on the phone being raped, or with the phone being raped and recorded by the phone, beheading a man, kicking a woman, the body parts fell off. All I can think about is like the IDF, like, you know, breaking the bones of Palestinian people with rocks and, you know, just torturing people, pushing people in ditches. It's hard for me to get those images out of my head and feel very bad about what this guy's saying, you know, I don't know.
Running Rachel Corrie over with a bulldozer and laughing about it with Rachel Corrie pancakes, you know, that kind of thing, you know. But yeah, this is just part of that chutzpah. It starts out with the claiming the moral, ethical, and intellectual high ground. You know, that's one of the things they immediately, you know, just say, I am the Jew here. I'm the smartest person in the room. I think I speak for all the good people here. And if you disagree with me, you're just an anti-Semite Nazi, right? And when you push back or question, at first you get the condescending, patronizing rabbi. Let me Jew-splain it to you, ignorant goyim. You just don't understand. And if you persist, then you start getting the bully, you know, that's trying to intimidate you. And that will escalate to, you know, if you're enough threat, that they will kill you. You know, this is the thing, bully, bribe, blackmail, banish, and bury. These people play hardball. You know, it's like, if I can't, you know, convince you to, you know, go my way, we will have to destroy you. This is what intransigent systems are, you know. And, you know, that war atrocity propaganda is just so over the top. It reminded me of the babies and incubator story that got us into the Iraq war, the first Iraq war. And so he's just, you know, waving the bloody shirt to, you know, get everybody all motivated. And when you ask for, you know, forensic analysis, it's, you know, how dare you? You know, this is the single most horrible event in all of human history. I mean, that was just so over the top. And even if you took this event, everything they said at face value and said, yes, they raped, murdered, burnt 40 babies, you know, even that, and you compare it to the Red Terror, the Holodomor, the Armenian genocide, of how those Christians were being systematically tortured in the most horrific ways possible by the Cheka and the NKVD, the modern Maccabees, who felt they were justified in this sadistic treasure, techniques they were using by their three mitzvahs against what they consider Amalek. You know, and so this is how they're justifying it. And, you know, the Cheka just look like they stepped right out of some, you know, Jewish S&M torture dungeon. Yeah, you know, these people always had their black leather on. They were all homosexual. They were all sadists, right? And they just reveled in, you know, what they were doing to these people. And so for this guy to say that this event was the single most horrible event in all of history is, you know, so over the top. You know, that's, you know, the way he's talking to what he considers a Schwarze. You know, that's what they call black people. You know, Jews are racially supremacist entities, right? And so that he's, you know, having to, you know, just put her in her place because she's, you know, like the other rabbi, the Shmuley, you know, he actually called her, you know, Candace Owen, the N-word, right? I'll say the N-word on my show, but I won't say it on your show. You know, and yeah, so this is the idea of, you know, we are privileged. We can say anything because the Holocaust. And that was one of the things with Shmuley, who went up against AJ yesterday, which was a complete clown world. You know, that he said the Holocaust justified, you know, that 6 million justified being able to call black people the N-word. Right. And it's like, well, what else does the 6 million justify in your mind? And I think about the Avengers after World War II that were going to poison the German water supply, you know, so that kind of thing. So these people are insane. You know, how much more do you have to see that these people are just whacked out with their zealotry? They're Maccabees. They think they are Tikkun Olam and fixing the world, you know. So back to you.
Oh, yeah, man. I mean, fantastic analysis, Blackbird. And, you know, what you said about the escalation of, okay, first we're going to talk nice to you, and we're going to, okay, and we aren't able to convince you that way. Then we're going to talk down to you, okay? And then if that doesn't work, then we're going to bully and intimidate you. Then we're going to destroy your life and your career, and that still doesn't work. Then we're going to kill you, okay? There's this psychopathic inability to ever concede someone else's point, what I was kind of alluding to before, to never, ever, ever admit fault or wrongdoing. You know, it reminds me of, some like these psychopath killers that are in these horror movies, like Michael Myers. You know, it's like you can't kill this thing. It just keeps on coming back. And I'm not advocating killing anybody. I'm just saying that you can say use the analogy of you can't kill this thing that you can't get someone to go, oh, okay, you're right, I'm wrong. I mean, this guy will apologize. Like, we're going to go ahead and play this clip some more because I listened to more of it on the break, and it gets good because he goes into bully mode here. He starts to go into that. He starts to try to shut her down, and he won't listen. Let's just go ahead and roll it. I lost my train of thought anyway.
This is the article. And by the way, you did say in this article that you heard that I received your invitation. That is false.
I did. So
I think it's important to just maybe name the people who told you that I received your invitation.
No, I'd rather not do that, especially since you're saying that it's incorrect, and in which case I apologize.
No, you can apologize. I just think that like a lot of the reason that things happen is because there is this sort of back channeling and discussion, and nobody told me that I got an invitation, and now you've written that I refused an invitation, and so that adds to people believing.
So Candace, I'm going to ask you a question right now. I'm inviting you, forget about the article, because I have no issue and would love to write an article saying I was wrong, Candace Owens does not feel that way. I would love that. So I'm inviting you right now. I will set up a screening for you. Will you come?
If you set up a screening for me after we go through this, I want to also be able to estimate your character by going through some of the things that you wrote. You did write some things that I believe.
Wait. I'm asking you yes or no questions.
No. And I just said to you, I'm going to give you an answer to that, but I want to first go through your article because I want to be able to estimate.
Wait. I'm asking you a question. I will take the entire article.
I'm not saying I'm not going to answer your question. I am just saying that I would like to go through this, see how you feel.
You said you haven't had an invitation. I'm asking you. I don't have to be there. I'll set it up for you.
Okay, sure. If you want to set it up for me to have a screening of that here without you there, that's fine. What I'm saying is that based on what you wrote about me, I wouldn't take an invitation from you anywhere. I think that's fair, given what's in this article. I think that's a normal human response, that if somebody has written somebody something that is utterly libelous about you, mischaracterizes what you said. But if you want to set it up separately and you want to send it to the Daily Wire and you want us to have a private screening, I absolutely will watch the events of October 7th.
You know what? God bless you. And had I ever heard you say that, I wouldn't have written an article.
Well, I think you still would have because you made a lot of points in here.
No, I wouldn't have, because I believe in the idea that it's about what we act and learn. And we have a concept called Schulin Judaism. No, actually, honestly, had you said there, at any point, what you just now said to me, that you would watch a screening, I don't need to be there, that you would watch a screening.
We're good. Okay, what's actually happening here? Blackbird, what do you think's happening here? Is he saying, okay, I'm going to put the whole system on autopilot, because actually what's going to happen is if you agree to go to the screening, you're actually going to get bullied into going to Auschwitz and touring, and then you're going to be put on display just like every other anti-Semite is, and then you're going to be forced to get on your knees and beg for forgiveness, or else, you know, we're going to torture you or whatever. What do you think about that?
Well, yeah, this is, like you said, the humiliation ritual that you're going to have to pay penance for this. You've got to go to Auschwitz and look at the pile of shoes and feel bad about the pile of shoes, like Elon had to do a couple of times, right? But yeah, the other part of this is you see the nature of the pill-pull argument. And this is uniquely Jewish in the sense of most people, or the other people on the planet, you argue to try to establish a truth because you believe in the concept of objective truth. And the real part of, you know, the Hegelian dialect was that, you know, it got corrupted by the cultural Marxist Frankfurt School, but, you know, it's the idea of you have a thesis and you take the antithesis of it, and by using argument and reason and facts and throwing out the stuff that doesn't, you know, isn't true, et cetera, you will arrive at a synthesis of truth, right? And that's the idea of having the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. But in Pill Pool, it's not about establishing truth at all. It's about exhausting the opponent. And, you know, and this is, you know, the way they do it, because in the cultural Marxist school, there's no such thing as objective truth. Truth is whatever you need it to be to win. This is all about power, you know, imposing your will on other people. You know, abracadabra, so as I say, I shall create, right? And, you know, this is, you know, they are a master-slave system. They think they just have to tell the slaves what to do, and this is their role on the planet. And so with this Pill Pool, it's just this exhaustive argument that you're never going to satisfy this guy. He is insatiable. This is like feeding a dragon. The more you feed it, the stronger it gets, right? The more dangerous. But, you know, he's never going to be satiated until he has Candace Owens groveling for forgiveness for her wrong thinking. And he's never going to acknowledge anything she says that contradicts his narrative, no matter how factual it may be. That's why we talk about hate facts. You know, they refuse to acknowledge facts that don't fit their narrative. They call them hate speech, you know, that you can't think that way. And so any forensic evidence about October 7th that, you know, contradicts their narrative, yeah, that's hate speech. Yeah, you can't say that, right? So anyway, so back to you.
I'm thinking of what I learned in Tex Mar's book about the Jews, and that is that they think that they are God. They think that they are literally God, okay, that they are gods, and that they are God, that the buck stops with them. So, of course, they think that they get to determine what the truth is. We also heard that rabbi, the guy on BitChute, who talks about white supremacy being the greatest threat. We don't have time to play it. I played it so many times before. But he says that the Jews have to be bearers of history. So it's like, yes, and so that's, I think that is at the root of why this guy, you know, in earlier, we didn't get to the clip where he was saying that, you know, anti-Semitism is mutable, or it creates transforming. Well, no, what keeps transforming is whatever they say the truth is. So they have the they think they're God, so they can determine what the truth is on a whim, whatever, exactly like you said, fits their narrative. So
right. Well, one thing I want to get in here before we start taking calls is, you know, we've been looking at this rabbi, but looking at Candace, you have to, you know, think, is this, you know, organic or synthetic? You know, she was an overnight sensation and, you know, influencer. She came out of Turning Point USA, where she met her husband, and her husband the son of this guy who is a baron in the UK, Michael Stahl Farmer, or Baron Farmer. He's a British businessman, former treasurer of the Conservative Party, life of peers and house, and a life peer in the House of Lords. You know, he has tenure. And so his son marries Candace Owens, and his son's a big millionaire Jewish, technically, this guy is, you know, Christian, but I think he married a Jewish woman. Please, you know, callers, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think Farmer married Jennifer Potts, and she's Jewish, technically making Candace's husband Jewish by Jewish law. But in his personal life, it says in 1975, in the city of London, Farmer married Jennifer Potts. They have three children. His son, George Farmer, was CEO of the now-defunct conservative social networking service, Parler, and in 2019 married the American political commentator Candace Owens. Farmer became the Christian deputy chair of the Council of Christians and Jews in 2016, right? So it's like, how much of this is championship wrestling that Candace is just playing the role that they want to play right now? So, you know, how organic is she? So back to you.
Yeah, I'm really glad that you pointed all that out, because that could have gone right over our heads. And that's absolutely true. And I guess the thought that I have is, if they're putting this out, they're floating this out there, is the Overton window, as to kind of keep in line with the Overton window, at the same time controlling the opposition, and then also distracting us from something else, right? If they get us talking about this, what are we not talking about, right?
Right, and this was a big sensational thing. It had everything. It had a woman. It had a black woman. It had a Jew. You know, that is just sensationalism right there. So, of course, that was, you know, making people look at that rather than, say, the genocide going on in Gaza right now, or the false flag in Moscow falling apart. You know, those kind of things.
So all right. Yeah, well, then I apologize for talking about this BS instead of that, because
no, I think this is important. I don't. No. I was all over you talking about this, because I think, you know, it's worth talking about, because it is definitely out there now. It's, you know, so how is this going to play out when you game it out? You know, is this going to be a big push for, you know, passing anti-Semitism laws, or is it going to be a Streisand effect where it's going to wake more people up to say, you know, these rabbis are getting really obnoxious and we're pretty tired of the ADL too, you know, that kind of thing.
I hope so. Hey, so let's go ahead and take Chance in West Virginia. Chance, welcome.
Yeah, hello, guys. You know, those people are so friggin' zany. You know, it's gag those gregarious, garrulous goyim. You know, and I get a kick out of when I hear they're going to send them over to Auschwitz for a history lesson. Oh, yeah? And then what? Send them over to Treblinka and Sobibor for a kosher dinner and an after-dinner show and cocktails? I mean, it is so friggin'... These people do have chutzpah, to use their words. William, I didn't know that you tiptoed to the Talmudic temple of Ben Shapiro.
Yeah, that's where I started out, yeah. And I got bit right back out of it, I guess.
What an experience. He didn't make you wear a beanie, did he? I got to tell you something. It changed.
I guess I wore one for a minute.
What was that now?
I guess I did wear one for a minute. This was in like 2017 when I kind of first started to see the things that were going on, like at Berkeley in February of 2017. You had the fires at Berkeley, and then you had the Charlottesville thing, and those guys that were white had no right to free speech. And that's when I started to see something was really wrong, but I wasn't looking into the you know, what they were actually saying yet. I was kind of stuck in the playpen of Ben Shapiro and Prager University. So it actually was a Jew that woke me up out of my sort of delusion that I was in by just dropping a couple nuggets about the Holocaust being a massive exaggeration. I'd never heard anything like that before. It was very shocking, but I did have the wherewithal to go ahead and research it. And at that time, YouTube still had a lot of good videos. And so I was easily able to just come across a slew and plethora of information just on all fronts, you know, like Disney and you know, Greatest Story Never Told, and all these podcasts from Michael King and all these other people. So it was a good time. BitChute's a little harder to use than YouTube, so, you know, they've managed to shut a lot of that down at this point. So I caught the very tail end of being able to get red-pilled.
And you wore the beanie, William. I command you to say 187 Hail Marys tonight. Oh, William, I got sad news for you on a lighter note before I leave. I remember you played one of my favorite bands, April Wine. Remember?
Yeah. I'll play it again next week.
Yeah, I learned just recently that the lead singer, Miles Goodwin, recently died at the age of 75. Yeah, I grew up in that band. I got all the rounds. Okay, guys, well, take care now. Have a good night. Hey, happy Resurrection Day.
Thanks. Great call. Happy Easter, Chance.
Yeah. Happy Easter.
Good call.
Absolutely.
So what RBN we got here? Callers are the best callers.
What's that?
I said RBN callers are the best callers.
Oh, man. It's really true. So what do you think? What do you think, Blackbird? What's going to happen here? What do you think about this? Do you think? What do you think? Well, let me ask you actually an unrelated question. What do you think about Easter? Easter holiday.
I love Easter. What's not to love about Easter?
Well, you got bunnies and eggs, and you got candy and chocolate, and what else?
Well, you have the Passion, yeah. If you have time to read it, that's always fun.
What's the Passion?
The Passion, the Easter story.
Uh huh. So the Passion, is that like the march to Calvary? No, I mean, I really literally don't, I can't define it. I've seen the movie, The Passion of the Christ, but I wouldn't know how to quantify the actual term, the Passion. Hello?
Hello?
Okay.
We were always taught was, that period of from Palm Sunday to Easter Sunday was known as the Passion Week.
Okay. Yeah. So what is Palm Sunday? It's just 1 week, right? Is that right? So Palm Sunday is a Sunday before Easter?
Right.
Okay. And we have Good Friday. Today's Good Friday. Happy Good Friday, everybody.
Yeah.
All right. So this is the day that Christ was supposedly died on the cross and rose from the dead on Sunday, right? So now Christians go to church on Sunday, right? Instead of not observing the Sabbath on Saturday, but the Jews observe the Sabbath still. And that was Lorraine Day's whole thing, was that we were never supposed to start worshiping on Sunday. The Sunday is actually the day of the Sunday was actually like the pagan day. And that Saturday, that was part of the Ten Commandments, we were never supposed to give that up. A lot of people think she's a Seventh-day Adventist because of that, which is not the case. I think she may have been raised as one, but she was an atheist or agnostic for like 30 years or something.
Well, yeah, so many of the lunar calendars, you started the week with the phase of the moon because it was based on the four phases. And so that was the Monday. You had the new moon, then the first quarter, then the full moon, then the second quarter, right? And then the new moon, you had the full moon, then the fourth quarter. And, when you had the solar calendars taken over, then there was a big discussion of, well, we're not going to do it the old way, so now we're going to make, Saturday the seventh day, right? So, it's an interesting calendar history there.
I'll have to talk to you about that at some point.
Yeah.
The show's over now. Dude, okay,
oh,
yeah.
Oh, wow.
Take on that
next
time.
Was fast. Thank you so much for having me on.
You got it, sir. Thanks so much. I sincerely appreciate your time and your input. Thank you, folks. Please have a fantastic weekend. Please donate to RBN if you can. If you have the means, please, folks. And have a great weekend. Stay safe, and we'll see you next time.
Find your inner rebel at Dixie Republic, the world's largest Confederate store, located in Travelers Rest, South Carolina. The anti-white, anti-Christ, anti-Southern world ends at the asphalt. Welcome to God's country. Log on to DixieRepublic.com to view our Southern merchandise, from flags to t-shirts to artwork. At the store, browse through our extensive collection of belt buckles and have a custom-made leather belt handcrafted in our Johnny Reb's Gun and Leather Shop. That's DixieRepublic.com, where you can meet all of your Southern needs.
Support those that support the network. Support Dixie Republic at DixieRepublic.com. Email ProudSouthern123@gmail.com and let them know that RBN sent you.
listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.